Happy trails to you.
This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy.
Until we meet again.
We hope you have a great day in Southwest Wisconsin. We'll talk to you next hour with some community conversation on The Morning Show. WRCO-FM in Richland Center, where the update at 9 is next. It is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 54 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A federal court blocking President Trump's tariffs on goods from China and other countries, the U.S. Court of Criminal Trade, ruling that the president overstepped his authority under the law on imposing the tariffs. ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
The Trump administration overnight quick to appeal. The White House rebuking the court, saying it is not for unelected judges to decide how to properly address a national emergency. Adding the administration is committed to using every lever of executive power to address this crisis and restore American greatness.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the U.S. will begin revoking the visas of some Chinese students, effective immediately. Harvard University holding its commencement today as the Trump administration asks federal agencies to cancel about $100 million worth of contracts with the Ivy League school. Elon Musk is leaving his government role as a top Trump advisor. He announced his departure last night. This is ABC News. Severe storms whipping across central Texas. They've left at least one person missing and tens of thousands without power this morning. Heavy rain and hail the size of baseballs battering the Austin area before sunset. Drivers who took cover at a gas station had their vehicle smashed when the awning blew in. Not far away, first responders who rescued one person clinging to a tree in high water were searching for a second person who's not been found. A wild crash in Missouri, the town of Excelsior Springs, for the second time in 4 months, a vehicle launched off a street, then went crashing through the roof of a building. Authorities say the curve of the road makes it hard to see the cliff on the other side. In February, a suspect fleeing police crash landed into the same roof, injuring two teenagers. The driver in this latest crash was able to walk away. Off the coast of Sunset Beach, North Carolina, north of Myrtle Beach, a swimmer taken to a medical facility. Officials say they think that it was a shark bite. He's fine. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Are you looking for the perfect Friday night fish dinner? The Phoenix Center in Richland Center has you covered. Every Friday from 4 to 8 p.m., they serve up delicious deep-fried or baked fish. Dine in or take it to go. Open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and closed on Sundays. The Phoenix Center is still your local favorite for food, fun, and family time. From mouth-watering pizza to a night of bowling, it's the go-to destination for good times and great meals. Call 649-7469 to order from the Phoenix Center.
We can't change the circumstances or magically erase the pain of loss, but we can listen and serve you with compassion and understanding at a time when compassion and understanding go a long way. I'm Darren Klingeman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Our promise to you is to be patient, considerate, and professional, serving you as you wish to be served. It's been our priority since 1889 at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
The WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Buying a home with less than 20% down is possible.
Today's forecast calls for a high of 70, a slight chance of a shower in the afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 50. Friday, 80, with a 30% chance of a few showers or thunderstorms toward evening. Friday night, any showers ending, and then a low of 53. Saturday, 77, with a slight chance of showers in the afternoon. And Sunday, not bad, 81, with isolated showers or thunderstorms possible. Right now in Richland Center, after a low of 44 today, east-northeast winds are at 3. The Wirtz floor and home thermometer reads 54 degrees.
Like you, State Farm agents are small business owners. They understand this isn't just what you do, it's who you are. With that knowledge comes a deep appreciation of what it takes to get a business going and keep it going, and how your insurance and financial needs change as your business evolves. We believe every small business has big possibilities, as long as you know how to plan, protect, and prepare for the risks that can get in the way. So let's take a look at some ways we can help you do that. Call, text, or stop by Julie Karen State Farm in downtown Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Memorial Day sale is happening now at Furniture, Decor, and More. Save up to 30% on brands like Flexsteel, Coaster, Ashley, Englander, and many more. Now through June 1st. Don't miss it. Memorial Day sale at Furniture, Decor, and More. Boscobel and Westby. The Memorial Day sale is happening now at Furniture, Decor, and More. Save up to 30% on brands like Flexsteel, Coaster, Ashley, Englander, and many more. Now through June 1st. Don't miss it. Memorial Day sale at Furniture, Decor, and More. Boscobel and Westby. The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. On our morning show get together today, we're talking about a subject I don't believe that we've ever talked about in the history of this program, but sarcoidosis is what we're talking about today, and kind of specifically Mark's imprint on sarcoidosis, who is, we're going to talk about that here today. But in the studio, we have Shanda Trum, we have Lacey Hamill, and we have Rodney Gokenauer, and we're going to talk about how they all became connected. But first of all, we're going to talk about this disease a little bit. Lacey, can you tell us a little bit, fill us in on what we're talking about today?
Sure. Sarcoidosis is an inflammatory disease characterized by the formation of granulomas. Granulomas are tiny clumps of inflammatory cells that can affect one or more organs of the body.
Shanda, can you kind of fill us in a little bit on what it involves and what we're talking about?
Essentially, the immune system goes into overdrive, and too many of these clumps form. They can interfere with an organ's structure and function.
You both had no clue on this kind of thing until you had life kind of change for you, right, Shanda?
That is correct. I had never heard of sarcoidosis before until we got my brother's autopsy back.
We'll talk more about that. Rodney Gokenauer is in the studio, and you may wonder how he's connected and why he's connected. Good morning, Rodney, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about how this affected you personally.
Well, I seen Shanda's article in the county paper and read it and decided I needed to get a hold of her and tell her that I had it. I have never heard of anybody else in this area with it. So I'd like to find out if there is.
So the disease is fairly rare then?
Yes. And I don't think the doctors do enough diagnostics to go far enough to find it. They'll just say you got asthma and hand you a inhaler, yeah.
Okay.
And that's as far as it goes. But I was diagnosed, well, in December of 71.
My goodness, so you've lived with this a long, long time.
Right,
actually.
Yeah. We were just getting ready to go to town one night, and I went to brush my hair, and I reached for the brush, and I got a real sharp pain in my chest. It hurt so bad, I just screamed. And of course, my wife wouldn't let me do anything but go to the doctor, you know. And the doctor wanted me in University Hospital yet that day. but I got a barn full of cows to milk, you know. So he says, I'll give you 2 days. Well, I found somebody, and I spent a week in the UW hospital.
So, did you have surgery at that time, Rodney?
They just did a little biopsy here, and that's pretty much what decided that I had sarcoidosis.
Hmm. So maybe it's more common now. I mean, you can look it up on the internet or whatever, but it was probably pretty rare in 1971, too, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So you have went on to live a normal life despite having this.
They put me on prednisone, kept building me up to where I think I was taking 12 tablets a day. And finally I come out one day with a handful and told my wife, says, I just can't do this anymore. So the next time I went for a checkup, I told the doctor, and he says, I think we can start backing you off. You can't just stop. You have to go off gradual. And it put it in remission, and I've been in remission ever since.
Yeah.
I just had a checkup here just 1 or 2 or 3 months ago, and he said there was no activity to be found at that time. So,
You got to consider yourself pretty fortunate, don't you?
Right, real fortunate.
That you've gone on and you farmed all those years and everything else. Because farming's not the easiest occupation.
No. Honestly.
Well, good to have you in the studio here today. I want to talk to you, Shand, a little bit more about Mark's imprint on sarcoidosis and how did it start?
This nonprofit was formed in honor of my brother, who tragically lost his life due to undiagnosed sarcoidosis. My brother, Mark, passed away in February of 24 from sudden cardiac arrhythmia due to sarcoidosis. A little about Mark, he was 41 years old. We grew up in a farm in southwest Wisconsin in Boscobel with our parents. Mark took over our family farm from our dad. Since he could walk, Mark was my dad's shadow farming together. At the time of his passing, he had grown his herd to over 200 head of beef cattle and just stopped milking Holstein cows 2 weeks prior. Mark was a husband, father, grandfather, son, and brother. He was loved and respected by many. I, along with family and friends, have joined together to bring awareness to this disease in hopes no one has to go through what we have gone through. And a fun fact, today is Mark's birthday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So the timing is here. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. Great memories of your brother, obviously. It's so hard when somebody passes that suddenly, though.
Yeah.
But you've been able to kind of, I guess, what would the word be? Kind of rehabilitate a little bit and kind of, you know, have his memory live on, right?
Yep. And although it was tragic, Mark died doing what he loved. He was actually on a farm looking at a pasture to rent. So he literally died doing what he loved.
Hmm. When you talk about this, then you probably had no clue of ever hearing of this disease, did you?
No. Nope. I have never heard of it before. So Google was my friend for a couple weeks after I found out.
You've done some fundraisers, haven't you?
We have done some fundraisers. Last fall, we did a breakfast at the Boscobel Bowling Alley, which we had a live and silent auction. And this past April, we did a scavenger hunt in Boscobel.
Just to raise some money and awareness?
Yep, to raise some money, awareness. We donated some money to the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research, which is a national nonprofit that does clinical trials trying to find a cure.
When your article, your story appeared in the paper and people like Rodney heard about it, did you have other people reach out to you as well?
Yes, I have. Yep, I had some people reach out to me that live in Boscobel or around Boscobel, and then I had some people reach out to me that lived up by La Crosse and Holman.
Okay. Now, that's amazing that, you know, again, you don't know that anybody else has anything in common, and all of a sudden you discover that it's more common than you think.
Yeah. It's strange that you've never heard of it, but yet so many people have it.
Your brother died suddenly. Mm-hmm. Rodney is able to survive it. Is there a reason?
In Mark's situation, it was more that he was undiagnosed. He had symptoms. He had been to the doctor just prior to that. But like Rodney had stated before, they were working him up. He was diagnosed with asthma. They were working him up for sleep apnea. They were maybe perhaps on the right track, just hadn't done enough yet, and then time ran out.
People are listening today, Lacey. What's the way that they can get involved or maybe learn more or help out the cause?
Great question. There are many different ways that listeners can get involved and help us. Educate yourself, like Shanda and I have done with Google. Learn the basics. Check out our website, Mark's Imprint on Sarcoidosis. You can participate in awareness campaigns. April is Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. Wear purple in honor of sarcoidosis. Support local organizations, the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research. We are also on social media, so Facebook. Our Facebook page is Mark's Imprint on Sarcoidosis. Share your story. Let people know that this is not as rare as we think it is.
Good to get people out there and educated and whatnot. Your brother, Mark, I'm guessing, what would he think if he knew about all this stuff? Shanda?
I'm not for sure. Hopefully he would be happy that we're trying to help him.
Reach out and help others, too.
Yeah, help others.
Obviously, yeah. Rodney, as you hear their story, I guess, and you read about it earlier, but it made a deep impression on you, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And I think, you know, me getting in with them, if I can help one person even get diagnosed, it's worth it to me.
You were off the medicine then. Do you have to take any medicine for it now?
No.
You don't?
No.
Wow. Is it common? Like you mentioned you had that rough pain there, but what are some other symptoms that you had or that people could be looking out for?
Mine is calcium deposits on the lungs. My lungs are just all scarred. And I have pneumonia quite easily because of all the scar tissue.
Yeah, that's rough. And then during COVID, too, I'm sure you were pretty paranoid about that as well, weren't you?
Just try to be careful. So that, I know, not this last fall, but the fall before, I don't do much deer hunting, but I went a little bit Saturday, Sunday, a little while Monday, and our son got a deer, so I went, picked it up with the tractor and loader and took it down to the house, and he said, I'll just skin it out. By the time he got done, I was starting to chill. And I ended up in the hospital that night with pneumonia.
Came on that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you do have to be careful.
Right.
It sounds like, yeah. As far as, Shanda, any other symptoms or anything like that people need to be aware of and things like that?
Some of the symptoms could be dry, persistent cough, joint pain, swollen lymph nodes, a skin rash, because you can have it on your skin. You can have it in your lungs. Most commonly, it's in your lungs, but you can have it in any organ of your body. It can be present. For your eyes, blurry vision. For your skin, rashes, like we had said, a difficult time breathing.
Is this something that, like a family tree, like a family history, or do you know anything about that?
I don't think they can link it to genetics yet, but your body could have a predisposition to cause your body to react to different environmental triggers.
What are your goals for the future? Do you have some things coming up that you'd like to share today?
Well, we are planning our next event, which is in November. It will be a breakfast again at the Basketball Bowling Alley. And then in April, we'll have our other big event, but there's more to come on that. We can't share that information yet. If you're wondering why we do big events in April, it is because April is recognized as Sarcoidosis Awareness Month worldwide. Locally in 2025, the communities of Boscobel and Lancaster signed into proclamation that April is Sarcoidosis Awareness Month within the towns. In 2019, Governor Evers signed a proclamation in Wisconsin that also recognizes April as Sarcoidosis Awareness Month within the state.
So with that, we're looking forward to hearing more about that and publicizing your events. Do you raise money for any certain thing or for some sort of research?
Right now we're raising money to supply the hospitals and the clinics with educational information. Some of the money raised in our April event, we donated to the Foundation of Sarcoidosis Research to find a cure, hopefully.
Yeah, find a cure. That's down the road. It's one of those things where it seems to me, you know, you sit here and think, well, they should have one by now.
You would think so, but it's so hard because this disease mimics so many other different diseases that if you're not diagnosed properly, there is no cure because they're not digging any deeper.
Right. Hard to diagnose and catch, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else that you'd like to add, Lacey, in terms of Mark's imprint?
To elaborate off some of the things that we have done, we have partnered with area hospitals of Boscobel and Lancaster communities. So when Shanna said that we're trying to supply them with educational materials, we're really trying to work with those providers to keep them abreast of the diagnosis so that they start thinking about that when people are walking in their door, that they're doing a full workup and just making them more aware of sarcoidosis as a provider. We're optimistic that we will get some more diagnosis underway, which will then help us in the long run to find a cure.
More people surviving it as well.
Yes. Is the goal. Yes, definitely.
Do you have a newsletter? Is that something that's in the works?
It's in the works.
It is in the works, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you plan to have in that, or what's the goal of that?
The goal of that is just to have any information that we are doing within the communities, any updates that we have, anything nationwide or worldwide that people are...
What's the word? Looking for updates or resources or how to get support. Some people are very debilitated from sarcoidosis and need financial support. And so finding those resources to help those people is one of our goals as well.
There are some, now Rodney was a farmer, that some occupations where this could trigger more than others. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's kind of, it's interesting. Somebody that works around chemicals or dusty areas, is that something that can trigger it?
Yes, that can trigger it, but there is not a definite link between sarcoidosis and farming, but it can be linked to dust and metal dust and pesticides and mold. All that can be linked to sarcoidosis.
Good to learn about it. Rodney, anything else that you wanted to add today?
I can't really think of anything outside of... I've really been fortunate with the doctors that I've had. There was a new doctor at Risen Center back when I went in. He had come here from some other place just to help, and he's the one that said, I got to be in UW. And then there was a Dr. DiPoco and Dr. Brown, and they were all really just great doctors. They did a lot of research on me. Then there would be classes from the UW coming and work on me to get different answers and what.
They saved your life.
Yeah. Yeah, if I wouldn't have had that one pain that night, I might not be here.
Right. But you're farming and you're, you know, in dust and you're in, you know, I don't know, fly sprays for the cows and all kinds of things, right?
Right.
But no real answer as to why you got it.
And how long I've had it, I can't tell you. I was just diagnosed in 71, so.
Yeah. Well, you've lived a long life as a result. Hopefully, if somebody hears our broadcast today, maybe there's somebody out there that might be having some of those symptoms. Hopefully, we help somebody.
Yeah, Shanda, don't you think you'd like to have them get a hold of us?
Yes, if you could get a hold of me at donorsupport@marksimprint.org, or you can reach out to us through the Facebook page on Messenger.
Okay. We're going to talk to Mike in just a little bit. Shanna, can you give us a little update on Mike?
So Mike is my brother's longtime friend. They were best friends, and I think they still are best friends. Mike lives in North Carolina, and like all of us, I don't think Mike knew much about sarcoidosis before Mark.
So he's learned about it, and he's kind of become an expert as well then.
Yes.
So, good. Yep. Well, we'll give him a call and look forward to talking with him. Lacey, anything else you'd like to add today?
That is it. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you guys coming in here today. And keep us posted when you have some of those big events so we can put it in our community calendar and everything.
We will do that. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah, you bet. No problem. So talking today about sarcoidosis, and we're learning a little bit more about it, and we will. We'll check in with Mike in just a bit. Lacey Hamill, Shanda Trum, and Rodney Gokenauer in this part of the morning show.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must. And Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Our morning show continues. On the phone with us is Mike Updike, former resident of Boscobel, and joining us today talking about Mark's imprint, Mark Trum. Mike, how long did you know Mark?
So I've known Mark for probably my entire life. We went to kindergarten together, and then we grew up together throughout high school, and then when I went away to the military, we still kept in touch throughout all these years. So I knew him since he was 5 years old.
So this was certainly a shock to you and all the friends of Mark, and I think you're kind of using that as a little bit of motivation now to move ahead and try to maybe make sure that someone else doesn't succumb to this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest things we want to do is just make sure to raise awareness and really look at how we can help with the research activities that are going on. And inform people that this is a real disease, and we're finding more and more if it's untreated, then it could have catastrophic effects.
And yeah, you've learned a lot about it. Anything that sticks out, from the research that you have done on sarcoidosis?
So I think really, the symptoms remain hidden for a long time, and there's so many different symptoms. It's hard to pinpoint, and I think that's what shocked us most about Mark is he had shown some symptoms throughout his lifetime, but we just individually looked at him rather than holistically. So I think that's probably what surprises me the most.
Tell us about Mark's imprint and from your standpoint what it focuses on.
So educating the community, I think we have really looked at at the farming community, and specifically for the Future Farmers of America program, trying to educate, as young as we can so we can help identify signs as they get older. And just go and get it checked out and rule, sarcoidosis out of what could be wrong.
I think all of us, maybe I kind of am guilty of being a hypochondriac, but, sometimes you have those little aches and pains, and I'm guessing Mark was no different. It was like, oh, okay, that's just something, I'll let it pass. But sometimes, you got to take it serious, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, my grandfather was a farmer his entire life. And, you know, farmers can be pretty stubborn. So, you know, when they do have those minor aches and pains, they oftentimes don't go to the doctor. So that's really one of the things is just go to get it checked out. It's too easy. And, you know, rule it out so you don't have events like this happen later in your life.
I know that you have done some great things so far in the early days of Mark's imprint. Can you tell us a little bit about the FFA and that correlation, Mike?
Yeah, so one of the programs that we're really looking at doing is to help spread awareness is, you know, investing in the FFA program, starting there in Boscobel. And we would like to, we're raising money to help send them to, you know, their national and state conventions. While they're at the national and state conventions, we have developed these, I call them baseball cards, but it's more of a information pamphlet, and it's got Mark's picture on it. And what we're asking these folks to do is just spread awareness and talk about Mark's story and, you know, help other people recognize the symptoms. And I think it's been, you know, a huge success so far. We're also helping the FFA build a little farming piece of land there in Boscobel, just to help raise awareness and, you know, continue to educate our younger population.
Ken, if people are listening today, Mike, and they'd like to donate or help out the cause, is there a place where they can go to help out?
Oh, absolutely. So obviously our website is easy to find, Mark's imprint on circuitdoses.org. They can go there. They can reach out to any one of myself, Shanda, or Lacey, and we can point them in the right direction. But our website is running, and that's the easiest way to donate and actually get more information about sarcoidosis.
So you're out of state, obviously. Are you spreading the word in your neck of the woods as well?
Yes, sir. So, you know, since Mark passed, you know, I've started raising a little bit of awareness here in North Carolina, not as prevalent, but, you know, as I talk to people here, nobody really knows about sarcoidosis. So, you know, I think it's a national issue. It's nice just to be able to do our part, being exposed. Tragic accident, yes, but now we can better inform, you know, the rest of our communities.
What can you tell us about Mark since you knew him so long? Great friend, obviously. Anything else you'd like to say about him that you remember?
Yeah, so, I mean, Mark was a, first of all, one of the kindest, gentlest persons that you could ever know. But, you know, his passion was farming. And, you know, he ended up taking over the farm from his father. And, you know, that was his entire life. He built that farm and he helped, you know, expand that farm throughout you know, Boscobel. But that was one of his biggest passions in helping the community. A huge advocate for the farmers in and around the area and a huge advocate for FFA. So that's kind of why we ventured toward helping the FFA for it.
Well, that sounds good, Mike. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Anything else you'd like to add as we look ahead at some of the upcoming things that you've got going for Mark's imprint?
Yep. So just keep a lookout. We have the pancake breakfast on in November, and then next April we're going to do another event, and we're pretty excited about it. We don't want to release any information about it yet. Looking forward to that, and we'll post it as soon as we get the final details out. But that'll happen in April, as April is the sarcoidosis remembrance month. So yeah, just keep lookout, and please reach out if anybody has any questions or wants more details on the foundation.
All right, Mike. Thanks for taking time to talk to us today, and good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mike Updike joining us on WRCO from Carolinas, joining us on the phone from WRCO talking about Mark's imprint.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libation, downtown Richland Center. Got a lot of new books for you, and replenishing from Christmas, and the kids' books especially. Old Cooch Books and Libation, a full-service bookstore. Order for you anytime. Old Cooch Books and Libation. Don't forget, we wrap presents for free.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we're talking about May, Mental Health Month. We've had some other programs talking about that, but we have members of the behavioral health staff from Health and Human Services in Richland Center here to join us today. Alicia Woodhouse, Alice Retram, and Bella Candelaria are here to talk about the subject. And Alice, we'll start with you a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about the mission for Health and Human Services in this regard?
Hey, good morning. Richland County Health and Human Services, we are part of the Behavioral Health Service Unit, and our mission statement to the community is to serve as a resource to the community on mental health and addiction in areas of education, intervention, treatment, in order to promote an environment that is supportive to individuals seeking and obtaining assistance. So basically, we are here to help Richland County residents, whether it is a mental health issue, substance abuse, addiction, and to help assist the families as well, not just the individual person.
Kind of a one-stop shop then, isn't it?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. But do you have individuals that are experts in the different areas?
Correct. So I work in our clinic, and with that, we have a part-time psychiatrist that is there on Fridays through telehealth. I schedule all the appointments with her for that. And then we also have a mental health nurse practitioner who is there about 8 days a month, and she is quickly getting filled up with patients. And then we also have Dr. Sainer, our psychologist, who does evaluations, whether you're kind of not sure what might be the cause of something or what's going on. We test children up to however old, and whether it might be ADHD, PTSD, depression, or even if they're on the autism spectrum. So we can kind of figure out with the additional testing to figure out how to help that person.
Who is eligible for your services?
Everyone that lives in Richland County. We only serve Richland County, so you must be a resident of Richland County.
You have a whole bunch of people that work there, too. I'm amazed at your staff.
Yeah, there's quite a few of us, and Richland County keeps us very busy.
We're very fortunate. So as we look at it, Alicia, are appointments important here for some of the things that Alice talked about?
Oh, certainly. If you usually what you would do if you're interested is you would call the Health and Human Services office, the building, and the front desk would be able to direct you to the right place to answer your questions about making an appointment and to if you need certain information, and they'll get you to the right person. You just call that number, 647 8821.
Good memory.
And then was particularly with Alice's her clinic, that's all by appointment.
Why do you feel a month like May, it's set aside for this? Why do you feel it's important to recognize mental health?
Well, and I think we're always talking about mental health, but it does, other things, life can take the front seat and can become the front of your mind and the front of the conversation. And so just with like a lot of other months that are set aside to pay attention to cancer or to all the different things, you could think of a month for this and a day for that. It really does cause us to stop for a moment and increase those conversations and do it in an intentional way.
Lots of times, like if we have a physical ailment, like, oh, Phil's limping, we can see that Phil's got something wrong with him. Mm-hmm. But in terms of mental health, that's not always so relevant, in the forefront, is it?
Exactly. And I think that is changing. That conversation is changing. That just like we have, we might have diabetes or we might have, which that one you might not see, but like you said, Phil is limping, or that also mental health is important, and there can be illnesses, but there also can be mental wellness or mental not wellness, for lack of a better word. Just like if I don't get enough sleep and I don't eat the right food and I don't get enough exercise, I physically feel not great. It's this similar with mental health and mental overall health, that my overall mental health won't feel great either. I might be sadder. That's something that we talk about in Mental Health Month, is that mental health and also mental wellness is very important.
Taking care of you.
Mm-hmm. Taking care of you is correct. Mm-hmm. So do you have like classes, and do you have groups in those kind of sessions, or is that something?
Wouldn't that be something? Well, I'm just be something to look into.
Wonderful. Yeah. Certainly, we many of us know of resources to mm-hmm. take classes, and right. actually, there is, often they are available to anyone that any person could take them, and so that I'm certain most of us could probably point someone in the right direction if they were interested. But there are going to be some upcoming events that we don't have dates exactly planned. We've been working with the public health mm-hmm. department, and we're trying to bring some more of those types of things. One of them is a program, it's called Make It Okay, and it's talking about, it's very directed at everybody. You don't have to be a professional to understand it. And so there's several of us who are mental, we've become ambassadors to Make mm-hmm. It Okay. And so we can give these presentations. So we are looking at some times. We don't have anything, but look, keep your eyes open for it. And that will be talking about reducing stigma, how to have that mm-hmm. conversation about mental health, because often that is a very uncomfortable conversation to have with your family members. And so just to really make it okay to talk about it with everybody, and what those conversations look like and why it's important to talk about it.
Mella, that first call is probably the hardest one for somebody, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I think oftentimes, too, just even in my position, most of the referrals and things come in not directly from the individual, just because I think that is a hard first step for someone to take. And I think also a lot of the time people don't know where to go, which is why I think stuff like this, making it like public and saying like it really is like you can just call right in, and we're available for that. Yeah.
And do you sometimes get referrals then from other agencies? How does that work?
Yeah. So specifically within, behavioral health in general. So like Alice, what she does, I work in the CCS program. So a lot of my referrals come from either hospitals, other like inpatient facilities, therapists, like outpatient therapists, and referrals can come from even just an individual themselves. But that's generally where we'll see it. A lot of our referrals come in through crisis. A referral can come from anywhere. Police, just whoever is privy or aware of the mental health kind of situation at the time. Yeah.
Lots of times, of course, we're by COVID now, but certainly mm-hmm. that didn't provide a lot of benefit for some people, too. A lot of loneliness and things like that crept in. I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I think, COVID was not a beneficial factor as far as mental health, and especially for those, again, who were already feeling unhelped, alone. They were feeling, I'm sure, really isolated, and then that just kind of compounded that. So really glad that we've kind of squeaked through that little phase and, that we're able to start working one-on-one individually with these people again in that kind of way. Yeah.
I think it's important too, Alicia, as we look at, making eye contact with somebody and some of that one-on-one that you can provide, that's important, isn't it?
Yeah. And that one-on-one, that feeling of connection, that feeling of belonging, it is one of the real protective factors for mental health, but also to recover from mental illnesses. And so one of the things that we're taught is, like in this particular with CCS, is that mental illness, there's recovery from. It's not something, it's the sentence that you're always going to have these symptoms that are going to make it really hard to successfully navigate the things you want to navigate. So how do you recover? And it's the same way, it's many times it's a lot of the same things that keep your mental health, keep you mentally healthy. So that's connection, and that's connection with your therapist, maybe, or your service facilitator, which is what we call the people that kind of keep all the appointments, keeps yeah. everything straight. But it's also those community events and those opportunities to be out in and just making connections with our neighbors and our developing friendships, and those are a huge protective factor and a huge way to mm-hmm. Support recovery.
I'm sure somebody says, I don't want any medication, though. I don't want to have, and that's kind of a fine line when you talk about getting over things. Is that kind of a hard thing to tackle?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think it makes it more difficult. It can sometimes when, it really does feel like it's a helpful, beneficial part of it. However, we're supportive of any kind of preference when it comes to mental health. And so we have quite a large array of different providers who can absolutely help, somebody manage or tackle or mitigate their mental health symptoms without the use of medication. If that really is something that would be more beneficial for the individual. 'Cause my whole thing too is like therapy doesn't work and the work doesn't work if the client or the person is not, they don't feel comfortable with the treatment. So we're really good at kind of tailoring that. And again, looking at the person as an individual versus, this is what everyone should do, or
every case is different, obviously.
Every case is different. Yeah, every person is different. I think that's what makes this, this whole mental health thing so unique and so also maybe challenging in ways, is because it's not a one fit to how we can treat somebody. One person might respond really well to one thing, and one person it might actually be very like detrimental and harmful. And so it's really just getting on their level, understanding who they are, what they have, again, what they respond well to, and then tailoring and customizing and hoping that, you can provide the best possible.
Right. The services we're talking about, Alice, is for all ages, obviously. We've done a lot of programs lately concerning the elderly. And I think, mm-hmm. Elderly, that comes into play as well, again, with loneliness and things like that, doesn't it?
It does. And we, our psychiatrist and nurse practitioner, they do have older patients. We do have a few patients in the area, long-term care facilities, that they manage the psychotropic medications for. But with Life Solutions at the hospital, a lot of them go through that program. And sometimes we will see them after they graduate that program to kind of continue the maintenance part of it, to kind of help them so that they may not have like a relapse, and to keep them so that they keep coming. So that way, like Bella talked about, the connections and keeping track of them. Not saying we don't ever let you go, but we want to make sure that we're there along the way to help you through it and to definitely maintain your mental health.
Life Solutions, they were recently on the program with us and talked a little bit about that. Do you work hand-in-hand with that program or not?
I don't necessarily think we work hand-in-hand, but I know Haley and a few of the other employees over there. So when I do have a question regarding, I don't hesitate to call and reach out and discuss, hey, I might have a person that might benefit from your program. And yeah, I think that's one good thing about our community. We're not too big, but we're not too small, and we all have no problems reaching out to each other.
Sounds like you're kind of the ringleader, Alice. Is that right?
Some days.
You tell people where to go, you know, or where they should go.
Whether they want to hear it or not.
Absolutely. Alicia, do you help people with prescriptions? Because I know that's another big issue. Is that something that, or you can direct them to the right spot where they can go?
Well, I think Alice is mostly would be, if I were to get a question on prescriptions, it would be that I would be directing them to reach out to Alice. In my role and several of our roles that were service facilitators for some of these wraparound programs, we might help arrange an appointment with one of the providers that Alice works with, either Dr. T, as we call, or with Haley. But it's still Alice that's going through, and so then that would be the medication management is what it's called under our array of services in that wraparound program. And actually, so I work primarily with kids. And so there might be some, that might be a subject that comes up at a meeting with the school if they're just to kind of coordinate with the parents and forms and everything. But Bella, maybe you might have more on that medication piece because you work more with adults.
Yeah, certainly. And kind of like you were saying, if they are, we do offer prescription services or medication management, as again the service array calls it. So that would allow anybody who comes in, especially through like the program I work with, they can get all of their all their prescribing services done through actually like our behavioral health unit by seeing again like any of our psychiatrists or psychologists. And so I think often it's actually easier for people just because they're already dealing with us on so many different levels. And then it helps like me as a service or a case manager, you know, I can help them if they're having issues or they want to change their prescription. So that's what's really great is like we can just kind of keep it all in one place. Otherwise, there is definitely like support for managing their prescriptions if they do have outside providers or they go to other pharmacies. But yeah, we're just here to support them in any way possible, especially around that because it can get confusing.
I'm sure it can.
Yeah.
Alicia, you talked about working with children too. How young do the children, are they typically when they come to you for services?
So school age is typically what would work with the CCS program or and younger than that it's harder to have therapy being, it's not that it would never be younger. I just, at this point, I haven't worked with anyone younger than school age. And it is really with kids, it's particularly interesting because it's really working with their families and the kids, especially the wraparound program. I think some of the outpatient, when there was outpatient therapy, they might just only see the kid, and then that was only working with a kid. But with the wraparound programs, often the parents might also have some support that helps work with actually taking some of what is happening in therapy with the children and applying it to some of the challenges that happen within the home or at school. And so sometimes a parent, it's very overwhelming when you have a little one who already has little one issue, you know, you're already trying to navigate parenting, and then you suddenly there's things like ADHD or other mental health, depression, anxiety, things that often families feel very overwhelmed. And so the CCS program can, when they're working with the CCS program, sometimes that is something that helps.
Certainly, we find that it seems like a lot of people are needing help and needing services and reaching out. Is it more now than it was? Are things more diagnosed now? Or how do you look at it, Lisa?
I would say yes and yes. I mean, I think it's more, and I also think there's more people are being diagnosed more. I had seen not that long ago just some of the numbers and increase of anxiety and increase of depression and other just, it seems like it's going on this trajectory that isn't going in the right direction. But I would also say that there's a lot more universal screening that providers are doing, and even the mm-hmm. schools are giving those referrals more quickly. And I think the families are more open to it too. So to going and getting, because they know that there can be those supports once there is a diagnosis, or once there is that, then both the schools are huge partners in mm-hmm. in having children both learn how to because often with kids, it seems like what could help them so much is forming connections, but also some of the symptoms are causing those connections. It's really difficult for them to make those connections. And so there's this social, learning how to make social connections. It's not being able to do that gets in the way of being able to be academically successful, but also having healthy mental health. Mm-hmm. So the schools, they're a huge partner with in my world. And then the parents. Yes, I was trying to find I had a piece of paper that talked about how much everything is going up, because it is trends in the last 10 years for youth, 42% increase in Wisconsin, 21% increase in self-harm, which is, that's not trying to commit suicide, but trying to harm yourself. And then 41 have considered suicide. And so those, of course, and then 52% of children youth have reported anxiety, 35% sad or hopeless every day. And then there's some interesting things about sleep, like the sleep health, not having enough sleep seems to be one of the impacts. And then, so there's like 74% of teens report sleeping less than 8 hours a day, and also where they need, really, they need like 9 to 11 hours of sleep. And then, so when we, I would love to at some point to have a conversation about screens and the increase of screens and how
that was
how that
my next question. My next question, Bella, is it screen time? Does that kind of correlate with what Alicia is talking about, or what is your opinion?
I definitely have. I mean, I think my own personal opinion, and that comes from my own personal use of it as well. There is definitely a correlation between the amount of time spent on screens and it's like direct impact on mental health. It also, I actually just read some studies about the correlation between screen time and social media and like loneliness. And there is like increased feelings of loneliness amongst people who engage in like social media and screen time, just because it is such a very like overall, it's kind of like an ironic term. It's like social media, but it creates this very like alienating experience, very isolating. It's pretty much overall pretty detrimental. I'm sure that there are some positives to it, but as far as like mental health goes, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not great, yeah.
And there are some, I think when I was looking for some numbers to bring here today, one of the there was a pretty recent slide that I'd seen that it was like an out. It's not saying that all screen time is completely bad. It seems like there's a correlation, like about an hour a day seems to be, there's often more benefits where it does like allow for connecting with friends or families that are far. It can mm-hmm. be creative expression. It can be finding your tribe that are further out, you know, that might maybe you may live in a smaller town and you can't find anyone who really, really loves Dungeons and Dragons in the way you do, but there's someone in Madison who does, so you can connect with people that share your interests. And there's fun. We all, I mean, I know I'm guilty of playing games on mine or watching a video or something. And I don't know about if guilty is the right term, though, because I do, it can be used in that fun way. And there's also lots of learning that can happen on. I've seen my own children really get interested in something and they're able to dive into the subject in a way that I couldn't even have imagined when I was a kid. But the risks of when you're over an hour in a day, that's where it gets. And some of the numbers are that a lot of kids are on 8 hours a day. I mean, it's huge. And surprisingly, I thought, oh, that's a huge number. And then there were some summer days that I was maybe letting my children choose how often they were on. And it was close to 8 hours a day. And I was feeling like a, you know, not doing a good job as a mom.
Not the Mother of the Year award. No. Or anything like that. But I think preventative is another word that we can use here.
Oh, exactly. And while they were speaking, I was thinking of how, not to divulge my age, but years ago, how we complained and stuff about the TV, watching TV, and now it's social media and computers and your cell phones and how to balance those things. Yeah. And when they were talking, also I was thinking of that this is another reason why it's so important in our communities to have these programs and to be out in the community, because I've had some patients that said, oh, I never knew you guys had this program or this or that. So it's really important that we get our pamphlets out there and we do radio shows like this and we're at the hospital and we're at the other clinic.